Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Really interesting because he's not in that class in terms of being a high-end first-round pick. That's not how he's considered by the league. And so now they're broadening their search. And I wonder if they're broadening it because there might be some of that same disagreement, lack of consensus that Tom and I had off the very top of the show on J.J. McCarthy. And if they think, oh, the best thing for us, if we can't get settled on one guy at three overall, if we do end up trading back, now we're open to this second tier of quarterbacks, whether it's Michael Penix or Bo Nix or maybe even further down the line, Spencer Rattler, people like that.
All of a sudden, there's more smoke about what the Patriots could be doing. That's Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston. And it dovetails nicely where we left off talking about the Patriots yesterday. Both he and Tom Curran, who you'll hear from coming up, were reacting to the news last night from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, that Washington quarterback Michael Penix, who I feel is the fourth quarterback in the draft over someone like J.J. McCarthy. I know not everyone feels that way. He was set to have dinner with the Patriots coaches and brass last night in Foxborough. It's another dinner. He also has a top 30 visit with the Patriots today, according to sources to the NFL Network. New England continuing to do all of their QB homework, says Ian Rappaport. Mike Florio built off of that at Pro Football Talk. He says there's a chance the Patriots are taking a close look at all these quarterbacks likely to be available at three for three reasons. Number one, to draft one with the third pick, obvious. Number two, properly value the selection if someone wants to trade up, maybe. Or number three, to potentially trade the third pick and get one of the quarterbacks at a lower spot. Maybe that's what Curran has been pushing for a while. Trade down, move back up for J.J. McCarthy at four or five, or trade down and take Michael Penix. So it's something we'll be asking you today on Jones and Mego with Arkin on WEEI. You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937, or you can vote at Jones and Mego. Our big question of the day: do you believe the Patriots are considering trading back from the number three pick, or think it's a smokescreen, due diligence, something else? You can vote there. Mego, how'd you vote?
Well, first, can I just say it's really nice to have Arkan back.
Yes, probably.
We
nice
missed
to be
you
back.
Yesterday. Yes. We missed you yesterday.
No, you
and
didn't.
So we're yes, we did.
Don't lie.
You were doing really hard work with the Red Sox programming, and I just Twitch chat's being really nasty about you actually making it into work today.
I went to
and
work yesterday.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is not one of those cases. It's not raining outside and he's staying home or anything like that. We're happy to have you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Doesn't sound condescending at all. not a shred of condescension.
Well, it doesn't sound like a real thank you either, if we're
doesn't
being
really.
Honest, but okay.
But it's nice to be here.
Yeah, okay, nice. So how'd you vote, Mego?
Okay, so I voted that, yes, I really think that they're still considering a trade back. And I say that because I think this is different than the news we got before that J.J. McCarthy is coming in and having dinner and everything with the top brass up here. I think that Michael Penix is so firmly in that second tier of quarterbacks when you're looking at, if you want to say, the top six quarterbacks that have been scouted out for these teams in the draft. Michael Penix is very much in that second tier. I personally think J.J. McCarthy is in that second tier too, but I think there have been plenty of mock drafts, plenty of informed reporters who have flirted with him being up in that first tier. And so to me, it suggests something a little different. It suggests that they're leaving the door open just a crack. The Patriots are leaving the door open just a crack in case someone comes in with a bag,
okay,
as everybody says.
Well, you realize what you're saying. 9 hours, 5 minutes, 54 minutes,
yes,
and 12 seconds, 10 seconds, 9 seconds out from the draft. You realize what you're saying is they haven't made up their mind. If you actually believe that, you believe they haven't made up their mind. You don't think they've made up their mind?
So I think that they have a plan A, and they have a plan B, and a plan C.
Yeah, that's not making up your mind.
Like, this feels like plan C.
That's not making up your mind.
Yeah, but do you think that these guys go into the draft with just one plan? like crazier if they things know, have happened on draft
If they know
night.
What's happening at 1 and 2, yeah. And I think we know what's happening at 1 and 2. I believe Schefter, the betting lines
I
have
do
moved.
Too.
The betting lines have moved significantly in favor of Jaden Daniels going number two
I
to Washington.
I do too. I just think that this is a backup plan. And maybe it's also, I'm sure that there are those within the front office who feel like, well, why don't we just see what's out there? Why don't we just see about Michael Penix? Why don't we just see what we could get? And if we could finagle this where we feel like Michael Penix is actually better than somebody like J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Because, yeah, I believe that they know who's going at 1 and 2. But I also believe that there's probably still a lot of different opinions flying around. And so it's like,
yeah,
okay.
And they don't know. And so that's fine. If you don't think they don't know, you think they don't know. I don't personally believe that. But real quick, you have McCarthy number 4, correct? Out
yeah.
of your quarterbacks?
No. No, I have. Oh, yeah, I have McCarthy number 4.
You have
Sorry,
McCarthy number 4.
Penix.
Who
yes.
do you prefer, Penix or Nix?
Penix.
Okay.
I don't want Bo Nix as a backup.
Okay. So, Arcand, you, I know, like Bo Nix mm-hmm. more than a lot of us. Who do you prefer out of Penix and McCarthy?
Penix, I think. I think Penix is probably the better talent. McCarthy is better in the big game, obviously, but I think in terms of like arm talent and ability, I'd go with Penix.
So you're you're maybe the lowest on McCarthy. You have McCarthy 6th out of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't like McCarthy.
Okay, I have him 5, but I'm not in love with him. I like Penix. I like him a lot. I don't think the Patriots are moving down. I can explain why coming up. Arcand, you agree with Mego, right?
Yeah, I don't think they know what they're doing. I don't think they have this all set up yet. If they did, Adam Schefter would be telling Patriots fans, hey, get Drake May jerseys, and he's not doing that. You know, he's telling Washington fans what to do, and he knows everybody knows what's happening there. I don't think anyone knows what's happening with the Patriots, and I don't think it's because there's some tight ship being run there where there's no leaks or anything. That's not the Patriots I know, that's for sure.
You know what, actually, that's a great point.
You know, if there was some sort of reason to believe that they were going one way 100%, someone would have said that. No one said anything.
Why isn't Schefter saying get the May jerseys?
Right, and I think that if you look at it, there's really a lot of, more so than in past years, a lot of teams that are desperate for quarterbacks picking later in the round who want to move up, and I think because there's so many, that could lead to a crazy deal, and if there's a crazy offer, I think the Patriots absolutely would consider that, yes.
Yeah, I don't buy that. To answer your question, why hasn't Schefter said it yet? Maybe he will. I don't know. He just barely said number 2 last week, so maybe he will. And I don't know. It's frowned upon for these guys.
We're
to
only 9 days, 5 hours, 51 minutes, and 20
Jones,
seconds away
as you
from
said
the draft,
yesterday, yeah. He said it 3 times now.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you. I don't know. He's got to move the goalpost to somewhere else. One of them he said on a Commanders podcast, and I don't think he expected anybody to hear.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
The other two he said on his own podcast. So I don't know. Maybe it's just frowned upon by the league to release too much information. He already said, I don't want to tip too many picks. He's already tipped 2. He's already let people know what the first 2 picks of the draft are. ESPN, the league won't be happy with him letting you know what's going on. And who's to say no one's been leaking to Schefter or whomever else? And I don't know. I thought the Patriots were pretty sneaky about Kyle Duggar, so maybe they are more tight-lipped. Did you know they were going to put the transition tag on Kyle Tucker?
I didn't know they were going to do that.
How come they didn't leak that information?
Well, I don't think that's as big of a story.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, maybe that's evidence that they're
not
going to...
Who are you picking the quarterback, the future of your franchise, or are you going to give a transition tag to a free agent safety? I mean, those are 2 pretty different stories.
Yeah, they are, but we don't have a lot of evidence with this front office group. One thing they completely kept under wraps and no one knew it was coming, right?
That's true. Fair enough.
Okay, it is fair enough. So, I think they know what they're doing. I think they're taking the quarterback at 3. I don't think it's up to Elliott Wolf. I don't think it's up to Jerod Mayo. I think they're taking Drake May. But the Penix visit does have me much more perplexed than J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy, to me, made sense. And the reporting from Rap Sheet is very, very, very similar. Taking him out to dinner first. He's in for a meeting. That wasn't the report with Drake May.
Well, we've gotten it since.
No, we have. But I'm saying the initial report
right.
wasn't that with Drake May. It wasn't that with Jaden Daniels. And so the way the initial visit is framed, wine and dine, out to dinner, McCarthy. Same thing with Penix, wine and dine, out to dinner. Now, you just said, Mego, that's not how it was framed with Drake May. Correct. Subsequently, we found out Pete Schrager today in his mock draft, and Schrager, plugged-in guy, he has the Patriots taking Drake May at number 3. He says, despite lots of smoke, New England could trade down. I believe the Patriots regime will be comfortable with either Jaden Daniels, who's going to, I say, or Drake May. Pat's brass took Drake May out for steaks the night before his Foxborough visit.
Mm. Now, that's more detailed than we've gotten with anybody.
Yeah, but it's after the visit.
What kind of steak?
It's after the visit. It wasn't before the visit telling everybody, oh, we're taking him out to dinner. We're wining and dining him. It's to one reporter, and it leaked out after the visit, which I think is very different, but good question. What kind of steak? I have no idea.
Well, what's your type?
Oh, what's
ribeye?
My type?
Yeah.
I like a filet. I like a ribeye. I like a prime rib. You dumped all over a prime rib before.
I mean, I like a filet, but I feel like that's kind of the girly cut.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about you.
I like it. Is
filets
that
filets are girly?
Is
yeah,
girly
I think
cut?
Filet is a girly
it's a,
cut.
It's a small. It's a small yeah. portion.
A little smaller, I guess.
That's what I mean.
It tastes good though. I like a rib.
It's just like a small, tasty little portion.
Porterhouse? Should I have answered porterhouse? Yeah. Is that how I should have answered? So anyway, they took him out for steaks.
Eat it raw right off the animal.
This information leaked out after the fact.
Yeah, we need that too. We need to know how he orders.
I think we have a good idea how he orders. He orders like he's on King of the Hill is how he orders. But so to me, I think it's significant this came out afterwards. I think J.J. McCarthy is a smokescreen, and I believe that. But Michael Penix, why even bother with that? Does anybody think they're taking Penix at three?
No,
definitely not.
No one.
That's why bother with it.
Okay.
That's why I'm wondering.
This
like,
is what I'm saying. This one has me perplexed because J.J. McCarthy's smokescreen makes sense. A Penix smokescreen doesn't make a ton of sense, and you only get 30 of these visits. So the idea that like, oh, they're going to bring him in just to do medical checks when they know they're not going to draft him, or oh, they're going to do research on him because he might wind up in their division, or they might play him in 2 years. They only have 30 visits, so like they shouldn't screw around with these too much. I think they know what they're doing, but Penix has me a little thrown. Admittedly, it does.
Okay, two things. One, I agree with the Twitch chat. Ribeye is the alpha steak move over the filet that you're ordering. Filet is good for me. It's got to be ribeye for the quarterback.
Wouldn't Porterhouse trump all of that?
I mean, Porterhouse is just kind of ridiculous.
Slap that thing down on the plate. I think that's the most alpha move you can make.
That's you're being a little over the top.
Oh,
there.
You think you're trying to prove too much?
Exactly. That actually makes you beta. But anyway, the second part of it is like, I guess my point is I don't think it's a smokescreen, and I don't think it's them just using the picks that they feel like, oh, well, we have this, so why don't we just check it out? No. They're also way too concerned with wide receiver and tackle and other positions that they have to fill out through the draft, through this draft in particular. So that's why I think that there must be somebody in the front office, and I think it's probably Elliot Wolf, who's looking at the situation and saying, well, why don't we just have these guys here just to be very sure? Because as we get closer to the draft, as we get closer to the draft, everybody, we will get offers that are going to be very, very tantalizing.
Sure. How about
so why don't we just make sure with these guys that Drake May is really
okay.
he's probably looking at it and going, hey, scouts, I know all you guys are head over heels in love with Drake May. He got the sirloin steak at Davio's. Mm-hmm. He told a bunch of funny jokes and a funny accent, and you want him. But like, let's just make sure, because somebody's going to offer us something that's hard to say no to.
How about Mr. Who goes on a bunch of dates right before your wedding? Like, I don't know. Like, that feels wishy-washy right at the last second, does it not?
What?
What are you implying over here?
Does that not feel wishy-washy? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same thing.
I think it's the same thing.
They didn't make a commitment to Drake May yet.
I think they kind of, if you know Williams is going one and you know that Daniels is going two, yeah, you kind of are. And so you get cold feet at the last second and shop around and keep your options open?
They've never said that. I mean, it's very different. That's a very different thing. They've never, that's the reason why this is all still being discussed, Jones.
So, like,
that's the reason
scenario,
why Schefter hasn't said go buy a Drake May jersey.
Mr. Who knows that Courtney and Kendra Middleton are both off the
They're
market.
Off the market.
So
yes,
he's
going to
decide if he's going to settle with
me.
Like, I'm just trying to play out the metaphor.
Like, let's date around at the last second.
With a third pick, Mr. Who selects.
Let's date around at the last second.
Mego from George Washington.
That means they haven't made up their mind. They have cold feet. And so I think the analogy fits. Go on some dates, Mr. Who. Just get that out of your system before the wedding, before the actual day, just to cover all your bases and be sure. They don't know. And so if they don't know, that's actually horrifying. I think they know. I don't really think they're considering trading back. But you tell me. Vote at Jones and Mego. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. Do you believe they're considering trading back? They brought in J.J. McCarthy, took him out to dinner. Same thing with Michael Penix. He's visiting today. Does that mean they're trading back? And if they're really talking to Penix, how far back are we talking about trading? How far back are we talking?
Pretty far.
23?
Yeah.
Is this like a Vikings trade back?
Vikings trade.
So what are they doing at 11? They're taking Penix at 23? Like, how would that even look? You guys explain it to me on the phones. Meanwhile, here's Tom Curran with something that I do think is important and I do think applies, because the Patriots have touted toughness, leadership, intangibles over and over and over again. Here's Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston.
While there are aspects of his game that aren't delightful, including the injuries, including the relatively older age, he's 24 now and will be 24 as a rookie, there are elements of his game with the arm strength, the ability to just move the ball with a flick of his wrist, the leadership skills, the toughness. Now, when Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf discussed all the quarterback prospects, they talked about the toughness. And it's absolutely indispensable to have physical and mental resilience when they get here. So Penix, to me, if you end up trading down and getting Michael Penix and having artillery to fill wide receiver, offensive tackle, cornerback, edge, all those places, or most of them, that's awesome. That's great. In many ways, the Patriots should not be able to go wrong in this draft. They can screw it up after the player gets here, but the player they select is going to be worthy of being an NFL starting quarterback.
Okay, so that threw me for a loop, what he tucked in there at the end. Let's put that to the side. The toughness. Is this part of the giveaway? And when Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo have touted toughness over and over again, leadership, intangibles, you know, DePenix and J.J. McCarthy exhibit more of that? And is that part of the reason why these guys are in last? I mean, these are their last visits, right? I think the last day prospects can visit are tomorrow. I'd imagine these are the last quarterbacks coming in anyway. Perhaps there's other prospects. But is there a reason these guys are in last? Those attributes dovetail with what the Patriots have said they want at quarterback.
All due respect, how are you going to sit there and say that J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix are tougher than Drake May? I mean, Michael Penix, through no fault of his own, just because of
what Curran just said,
how he has all the injuries.
Penix has come back from four injuries.
I know, so, but he's also had four injuries.
Okay.
You know, like at some point, there's injuries there.
That's toughness versus durability.
Yeah, I agree. I also think those are two different
things. Well, how has J.J. McCarthy demonstrated any toughness? I mean, no offense, but he has pretty much like a fairy tale existence while he's at Michigan. He's only 21 years old. I would look at that and say, we have no idea how he's going to respond to adversity.
Put it all under the grouping of intangibles. Like, could those guys have more intangibles than Drake May, who lost, whatever, four, five, six games this year at UNC?
Or mental toughness?
Yeah, Caleb Williams, who did dismally with it this year. And so, yeah, I think it's possible those guys could exhibit more of it.
I think that would be really stupid, because as we've said before, like, I do think that the toughness and your mentality and some of these intangibles, that they are going to be really important early on for whatever quarterback they take's development, because they're going to be in the crappiest situation for a rookie in the NFL. I really think that they are. Like, I think it's going to be much closer to what you saw with the Panthers last year than what you saw with Houston last year. I just think that's the reality of the situation. And so I hear all that and I go, it's important. It shouldn't be the difference in the tier of quarterback that you take. And I really feel like, for several different reasons, but a big one being the injuries, that Michael Penix is in a lower tier than the other quarterbacks we've discussed most of the time.
Okay, but you buy that they're looking at him. And
yes.
You buy that he's here for a reason.
I think that there's somebody in the front office who is still flirting with it, still flirting with the idea, hey, you never know, this is the consolation plan. Yeah, I do.
Here's some of these rumored offers that we're hearing about that the Vikings or the Raiders or the Broncos or any of these teams are putting together. Yeah.
Here's the other thing, Jones, and we're on the same page. Like, I think we both trust Schefter's information a lot. It's been since mid-March that we got that report from Schefter that, hey, these other teams are knocking on the door of Washington and New England asking about tradebacks and trade-ups, and there's no real indication that they're interested in doing that. But that's several weeks ago.
Okay.
And as you're getting closer, it might be getting sweeter and sweeter.
Maybe. I don't know. Curran last week said it would take four first-round picks, and Reese over the weekend said it would take multiple first-round picks and Justin Jefferson. So, like, I don't know. I don't think it's outdated reporting. I think some people are reporting some things and others
are
reporting different.
I'm just saying that things can develop. Like, that. I'm not saying it's, like, bad info or it's so old. I'm just saying I think, especially as we get into this time, it's things can develop very quickly. How many trades do we see that happen on the first night of the draft?
Yeah, but I just think Minnesota has their trade lined up. And if they were doing the trade with New England, it might be executed. I think they have their trade lined up with Arizona.
Or so what do you think they're
the
doing?
Chargers
they just
or whomever.
Want, they're trying to, like, talk gossip about Washington with Penix and, like, what's going on with the Belichicks out there?
I the best answer I can come up with is it's medicals, because he has so many medical red flags. That feels like a waste to me. But that, to me, is the answer, because they're not taking Penix at three, and I don't think they're moving. We all agree they're not taking Penix at three, right?
Right.
So what do you think is going on? 617-779-7937. Arkham, why aren't they talking to your guy Nix? He's like the only quarterback they're not interested in.
I know. I'm starting to think this Bo Nix dream may be dead here. It looks like if there is a late
You're
round
starting?
Guy, I'm starting to believe that maybe they're just not
this
that into Bo Nix.
This didn't happen back around the Senior Bowl?
By the way, just to be consistent,
they were there.
If we're going to cite Peter Schrager, Schrager had Nix in his first round and not Penix, just FYI.
Yeah,
so.
True. So, I mean, I don't know what other teams think of him. It doesn't seem like the Patriots are all that into the idea. Maybe that's sort of a fringe idea of trading back and being in a position
situation where you could draft a Michael Penix in the first place, and Knicks would probably be there too, but it seems like if that's the way that they're going, they've picked their guy, and it's not my guy. So, you know, I'll take the L on that one. But either way, I think that this is something that's very much in play. I don't think it's something that they've decided on and that they're 100% on Drake May. They're just trying to cover all their bases. They're keeping their options open, I think, on purpose.
I wouldn't take an L, by the way. If Knicks is good in the NFL, you can take a victory lap.
I'm saying on the Patriots getting him.
617-779-7937.
Trust me, I'll be insufferable if Bo Nix is a good pro.
We understand. Do you believe the Patriots are considering trading back from the number 3 pick? We'll give you some results on that coming back. Tommy Curran also wrote, it's time to wrap your head around the idea that McCarthy is really in play here, independently from Michael Penix, who's visiting today. He says there are plenty of stylistic and personality similarities between McCarthy and Mayfield, who Elliot Wolf took when he was in Cleveland, or was at least part of the group that took him. There are similarities between the run-based offense Michigan ran and the one offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt ran at Cleveland. Further, the Patriots are not talented enough at the skill position to run a wide-open offense anyway, so the offense they'll run, McCarthy is safest, most prudent, rather than someone like Daniels or May. He says, plus he won a national title, played at a big program, and has a high floor. He's a safe and stable pick. What's not to like? To me, I know who that sounds like. Safe and stable is not what I want. I want a home run. I want a grand slam. I don't want a single, a stand-up double. I want to think a little larger than that, because a single or a stand-up double might have a good year like Mac Jones, but he might also be on his way out of the league a couple of years later. So how do you guys feel about it? What are the Patriots angling for? Is it a smokescreen? Are they really considering trading back? And who would it be for? J.J. McCarthy? Michael Penix, Arcan's guy, Bo Nix.
You can jump in.
You can jump in, or you can vote at Jones and Mego. Arcan has all the latest here in your trending. And when we come back, he's also done some research making a case for J.J. McCarthy at number 3. Are we underestimating him as a premier talent at quarterback?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get to that next.
Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcan.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Let me upgrade you
on WEEI.
New England has spent plenty of time over the last several weeks getting to know all of the top quarterbacks. Caleb Williams obviously did only one visit, but all of the others have spent time in Foxborough. Now J.J. McCarthy. And whichever way it goes from 2-3, and then if someone ends up trading up at 4, or wherever the fourth quarterback goes, all of these teams are considering the same guys, trying to figure out where do they rank them. The Commanders also have several top quarterbacks in their building this week. Everyone is trying to sort it out. J.J. McCarthy, I would say, firmly in that mix.
Ian Rappaport on J.J. McCarthy. Why was he here yesterday? Why is Michael Penix here today? Pats are whining and dining both. Are they really gearing up for a trade back? You can vote at Jones and Mego. 52% agree with Arcand and Mego. Yep. They're really thinking about trading back. 48% are with me. Nope. Smokescreen, playing around, trying to make sure Washington doesn't have cold feet and change their mind at the last second. So you guys can vote. You can also weigh in on the phones. 617-779-7937. Arcand has also done some research on quarterbacks like J.J. McCarthy and their transition to the next level. Is it possible we're underestimating how good of a quarterback he could be? But it's a twofer Tuesday here on WEEI.
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday.
Twofer, twofer,
twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937, and you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Cubs on April 27th. At Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now, contest line 617-931-0937. You'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Cubs April 27th at Fenway Park, all part of a 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI. We'll give away another pair 1 hour from now at 3:30. So good luck right now.
I'm sure those fans won't take over the park. Cubs fans, jeez.
Well, this is we're doing our best to get a couple of Red Sox
fans
in there.
Come on, Sox fans.
Good luck right now on the contest line, and if not, you'll have another opportunity at 3:30 for Red Sox Cubs, all part of a two for Tuesday on WEEI. Real quick, Arcan, a couple of texts before we get to your research. The Penix visit is just in case they get a Godfather offer, something you guys were saying, do some due diligence. Why is it so hard to grasp the concept the Patriots are doing their due diligence with a lower-tier quarterback in case they're offered a King's ransom? Same idea. Of course, the Patriots don't know what they're doing. The team has holes across the board. True, I do feel that way. But I think in this case, their mind's made up. And also this, not sure why you guys aren't saying Penix could go in the second round of the Patriots. If they are really passing on a quarterback at 3 and trading back, they better make sure they get their guy at, call it 23, and they're not rolling the dice and hoping they hit at 34
right.
with this quarterback. What if somebody else leapfrogs you? What if somebody else does what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson and trades to 32, and now what? It's Brissett all year? That's a terrible plan. So, to me, I hope if they're moving back and they're doing due diligence on someone like Penix, they're making sure they get him late in the first round, or they're doing what they can to maneuver their way back in the first round. You get an extra year of control, by the way, fifth year on the contract if you do that, and not fingers crossed that he falls to him at 34, because that is not a lot of conviction in a quarterback.
Absolutely not. And isn't that also just, sorry, but whoever's sending that in, isn't that probably a little bit of wish casting of like, yeah, you're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. and you're going to get Michael Penix to throw to him?
Yeah.
It's kind of the idea that people have back in like January.
Yeah. I also just hate the logic of, well, you're not going to hit on a quarterback at 3. No one hits on a quarterback at 3, but you might hit in the second round. Like, what the hell kind of logic is that? You don't want the second or third best quarterback in the draft, but you do want the 6th?
Well, the logic I think that people would argue is that you're giving up less. Like,
yeah.
You're giving up.
And you're getting an elite weapon for him, too.
In theory, yeah. But you
right.
can all.
Or you're getting a haul back
but that's
that then
so
you
dumb.
Can use
you can,
towards other
you
stuff.
You can miss on a wide receiver or a tackle at 3. I don't get why people just dismiss that. And I have laid the case out many, many times. There are many wide receivers in the top 5 who have not worked out.
They hear more and they see more about the quarterbacks who are busts who go in the top 10.
Yeah. And, you know, in some ways it's more costly to whiff on a quarterback. But the upside is much, much higher than some wide receiver. Again, Calvin Johnson was awesome. What did he ever do? What did he ever win in the league? How did he ever change the Lions in any way, shape, or form? Let's say Marvin Harrison is Calvin Johnson. That doesn't change your franchise. It doesn't. It didn't change the Lions. It won't change this team. A franchise quarterback could. Now, Arcan did some research to, I think, push back to at least myself and certainly Mego as well, although, Mego, you like McCarthy better than me,
mm-hmm.
on quarterbacks like J.J. McCarthy who won a national title and how they transitioned to the next level. And I was surprised at some of these answers that Arcan came up with.
Yeah, I was looking at it because I don't love McCarthy, but I also don't like Drake May. So I figure if it's between those two, I should craft an argument against Drake May here and for J.J. McCarthy. And the only one I could really think of.
He does love Bo Nix, though.
I do like Bo Nix.
Just so we know who he actually
likes. That's his Russell
yes,
Wilson.
That's
but,
his guy, yeah.
Yeah, not a huge fan of McCarthy or May either way. But McCarthy did win the championship last year. He was the quarterback in the BCS championship winning team. And so I went back to previous 10 years, which did cross over into the BCS with Jameis Winston in 2013. Then they changed it to a playoff, so it is two different systems. But either way, these were the championship quarterbacks. 2013, Jameis Winston with Florida State. 2014, Cardale Jones, Ohio State. 2015, Jake Coker, Alabama. Then it goes Deshaun Watson, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, and 2 years of Stetson Bennett, who's in the league but is not with the team, with the Rams there. So basically that's 10 years. Four legitimately bad. Cardale Jones, Coker, Mac Jones, and Bennett, you could say, are all bust. But Mac Jones did play in a Pro Bowl, and so did Watson, so did Winston, so did Tua, so did Lawrence, and so did Joe Burrow. If you draft the BCS champion quarterback in the last 10 years, you had a 60% chance of drafting a guy who was a Pro Bowler, at least at one point in his career. A lot of these guys are still pretty young. Now, you want to lop off Winston and lop off Mac? Fine. That's still 40% chance.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I mean, considering like the bust rate on some of these quarterbacks, I'd say that's a pretty good percentage.
Another way to put it, if 60% of these national champions over the last 10 years wind up making a Pro Bowl, they're probably not a complete bust. Although Mac Jones feels like a whiff, and so does Jameis Winston. But I understand it's like a short-term or shorthand metric. I think that's a good exercise. Mego, if I asked you how many quarterbacks on this list you actually want, like, fine, they made Pro Bowls. How many quarterbacks on this list would you actually want? I feel like that answer is a lot smaller. I know you want Burrow.
Obviously.
Do you want Lawrence?
Yeah, I'd take Lawrence still. I know he's not. He hasn't lived up to his draft position and all the hype that was around him, but I'd still take that.
Tua?
Yeah.
Watson?
No.
Talent-wise. I mean, I know,
but it's just, that's too big of a red flag.
You hope no one you draft is going to end up being a pervert, but, you know.
Okay, but like,
from a talent perspective,
okay, but like, independent
of
all that, Deshaun Watson could be your week one starter this year.
No, not at this point.
Do you want that, Arkan?
No.
Do you even want Lawrence?
I take Lawrence.
Yeah, I take Lawrence.
I take, but listen to how you're saying it. I take Lawrence and I take Tua. Like, who do I really feel good about on that list?
You know what this exercise shows me more than anything else? Pro Bowl sucks. Pro Bowl, winning a Pro Bowl, getting honored at the Pro Bowl as a quarterback doesn't mean that much.
Winning a Pro Bowl definitely means nothing.
No.
Getting,
I mean,
getting selected to the
honor,
Pro Bowl. Yeah,
winning the selection.
But we're also
Pro
talking
Bowl.
About the difference between guys who played and started for a couple years and had at least one good year versus the Cardale Joneses and Stetson Bennetts of the world.
Right.
And
no,
some of
I
the quarterbacks
it.
Who suck. So,
okay,
I mean,
but
like,
let me tell
you. You're talking about guys who were started and at least had one good year.
Yeah, let me tell you. I mean, some of those guys weren't first-round picks either. And so, like, you know, I mean,
True.
Just look at some of the guys who were first-round picks. Where was Cardale Jones selected? Third or fourth round?
Something like that, yeah. You know? Bennett was a fourth round pick.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, where
but
were some
Mac
of these
was
guys?
A first.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, the guys who were first-round picks and won a national title, that might give you a better idea. But how many guys do I actually want on that list? Like, really want? I would probably take Tua, and I would probably take Trevor Lawrence. Do I feel great about those guys? No. Like, Burrow's really the answer. That's really it. And so I think this is a good shorthand way to measure that J.J. McCarthy might not be a bust, but he also might not be a franchise quarterback, and I'm swinging for franchise quarterback. There's only one franchise quarterback on that list.
You don't think Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback?
No, not yet.
I do.
Lawrence was horrible last year.
I know, but I still think, like, it's still early enough for
him. But, like, if I have to
I'm still higher on Lawrence than I am on Tua.
If I have to answer right now, ooh, that's a good question. If I have to answer right now, is Trevor Lawrence a franchise quarterback? My answer is no. He hasn't been yet. And so maybe he can be, and maybe I'm just closing the door on him too quickly, but my answer is no.
What kind of steak does he order?
It's a good question.
Sirloin?
I like this. 37937, everybody knows the number. If your steak doesn't have a bone in it, Jones, it's a chick cut of meat. Sorry.
Chick cut.
Is that right? If it doesn't have a bone in it, it's a chick cut of meat.
Bone free for chicks. Man, steak's got a bone.
I saw the Twitch chat commented.
You know what I mean.
Twitch chat commented on a tomahawk stock. Tomahawk steak.
I like
tomahawk
those,
steak
yeah.
rather. Yes,
it's like the Fred Flintstone steak.
Giant.
Yeah, I'm into those.
Is that?
I've only had that once.
Is
I've
that
had
like
that
make?
Once.
Is that
Very
making
good.
Too big? You ate a whole tomahawk steak?
No, I didn't eat a whole one. I watched Christian and Louie eat one.
I was gonna say I've never. I would love to, but I'm
it's
too busy.
It's insane. It looks like
did
it's
they
out
start
of
on one end and the other at the other, like Lady and the Tramp?
It was cute. It was cute.
I'm too busy ordering my chick cuts of meat.
Go get yourself
apparently.
A big ham.
Also, this text, which has nothing to do with anything, but it'll make Mego feel better. 701.
Then they argued over the bone. They were like,
Mego, listen up. It's 701. Greg Hill pronounced Elliot Wolf's name. Wolf.
Can we track that down, Ryan? I know you don't have that much to
was
do
Was that
back
a tribute
there.
To Mego, though?
I don't know. Was it? Yeah, did he do it on purpose?
Because Hillman's from around here.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have some
he
sort of regional accent.
He must be listening a lot. Because,
yeah.
You know, when you hear somebody's accent, you start kind of picking it up and imitating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How come Arkan and I haven't started doing that?
Because you guys don't listen to me.
That's true. Greg. We just tune around.
Nailed it.
Yeah. That's 1,000% it, actually. Greg Hill maybe has started to pronounce it woof.
We got to track this down. This
is
important.
It mocking?
Nobody on that show talks right. Come on.
So 701 feels like that feels suspicious. They were back at 701 and we're right into
the Elliot Wolf
conversation.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay, maybe.
Hey, he's tight to that clock, let me tell you.
I feel like there's probably like, you know, a 4-minute Boston song playing at that point in time or something like that. But okay.
I want to know about when the next eclipse is.
It's the third verse of I Would Walk 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
It's a grammatical nightmare.
I mean, I literally just called it a tomahawk stock, so who am I who am I to cast stones?
Stonk.
617-779-7937. We do have more wide receiver movement in the NFL, or at least potential wide receiver movement. More names.
Snapchat?
More names, yes. That was Juju yesterday. More names potentially unhappy with their situation. More names potentially on the move. As it continues to take shape, why does it feel like the Patriots aren't in on any of these moving parts? We'll get to it with all your phone calls next.
How young? So young. We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff. Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arkan.
I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over on WEEI.
As far as the trade request, I would agree with his agent. There has been no trade request. Obviously, there have been some teams, though, who know that all is not well, who know that he wants a contract extension, some receiver-needy teams who have inquired over the course of the last several months to see could he be available. To my knowledge, the 49ers have not entertained any of those talks, but until and unless an extension gets done, that is going to persist. So we will continue to wait for Brandon Ayuk to get paid as he so richly deserves and to see whether or not he decides to hit that follow back button.
Brandon Ayuk unfollowed the 49ers. I think it was on Friday. We talked about this briefly on Friday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Did you hear? Brandon totally unfollowed Sam Fran. He's one of many receivers that could potentially be on the move. We talked about this yesterday. T. Higgins still kind of left the door open, to be honest, about leaving Cincinnati. He said, we'll see. But he expects to be back on the tag. A.J. Brown may be available. They just paid Devontae Smith. We have multiple holdouts. There's actually been another one, or at least players skipping voluntary workouts. Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb we talked about yesterday. Cortland Sutton, I guess, was another. So those are potential holdouts. A lot of unhappy receivers around the league. It feels to me like the Patriots are in on exactly zero of them. They weren't in on Diggs. They weren't in on Keenan Allen. They weren't in enough on Calvin Ridley. I don't know why they'd be in on these guys, but we can discuss it here. On Jones and Mega with Arcand on WEEI. You can still vote in our big question of the day, up now at Jones and Mego. Do you believe the Patriots are considering trading back? 52% say yes, 48% say no. Continue to vote there. We also have an accompanying poll.
Yes, this is very important. if you want to check out my Twitter account, it's at Megan_Ottolini. We already have 150 votes.
Wow.
Posted in the new poll, is filet mignon a girl steak cut? Yes or no? 63% of people say no.
Hmm. Ooh, I see 64%. But
oh,
I just,
so it's moved. This is a fast-moving poll.
I just voted, so oh. I and I'm trying to back up my take that it's completely not a chick cut of steak, and I've been ordering chick steaks.
Yeah, so I see 36% of people say that yes, that is a girl cut of meat.
Okay, so these are dueling polls. You never want to cross those, but these are dueling polls. Up now on Twitter, you can vote at Jones and Mego or at Megan_Ottolini. It's a 2 for Tuesday on WEEI. We'll be giving away another pair of tickets to see the Red Sox and the Cubs at 3:30. We'll also talk to Rob Bradford at 4:30 here today. Arcan, you missed our wide receiver discussion yesterday. Is there a receiver that you think is in play here in New England? Is there a receiver that you want the Patriots to go get out of some of those names we just mentioned?
Yeah.
How about somebody who will actually even move?
I think A.J. Brown's definitely a candidate for that right now because the Eagles are going to be in a position where they're paying four guys like $85 million next year if they don't move one of them. I forget who the other two guys are, but you're right. They did just pay Smith.
It's Lane Johnson, it's Devontae Smith, it's Jalen Hurts.
And Jalen Hurts, yeah. Right. Yeah, obviously. So, yeah, there you go. And that's a lot for four guys. And I think that if they want to make a pick here in this draft and pick up a wide receiver, they could do that. And he won't be as good as A.J. Brown, but this is a good wide receiver draft, and he just paid Smith. So I think that's something that could very much be on the table. I think the Eagles will be open to it. The Oilers. The Titans had A.J. Brown, and he was great and productive for them, and they traded him. So it's like there's something with him where teams don't mind trading him. And I think that, you know, the production's there. I know, but the Eagles are, I think, in a position now where they're considering it. So it's not like his talent's there, obviously. He's one of the most talented receivers in the league, I would say. And he's exactly the type of guy that I think a playmaker you bring in and give to a young quarterback. I think that would make a ton of sense. I just don't believe that the Patriots would do what it takes.
So to me, and I'm with you on that last
point. But he's the guy I want.
To me, the idea would be you do what Minnesota did, trade Diggs, draft Jefferson. The cautionary tale would be one you just referenced. Trade A.J. Brown and replace him with Treylon Burks. That hasn't worked out. And so, you know, I'm sure we can go point and counterpoint for this all day long. I'll believe A.J. Brown's getting moved when I see it. I don't think he's happy with his contract, but if they decide to pay him, and they can pay him. If they decide to pay him, I think he's going to stay. I'd be surprised if he moves. But I've said that about Ayuk before as well. I think there's more to Brandon Ayuk moving than there is to A.J. Brown. But I'm with Arcan on the last point. I don't think the Patriots are going to be in on any of these guys, which I think is shameful. I disagree with it. I want them to be in on every single one of them. I'd give up pick 34, and I'd pay the guy to go get these receivers. I might even sweeten the deal with a later round pick on top of it to get a true stud receiver to help out your young quarterback, who we assume you're taking at 3. But I don't see any indication they're in on any of these guys.
No, and look, maybe they're so focused on the draft right now, they are entertaining quarterbacks, taking them out for stakes
okay,
and such.
Well, you better hope that none of these guys move at the draft, because A.J. Brown moved
in
the draft
before. I
don't
disagree with you. I don't know. It feels like even after the way that they behaved with Calvin Ridley, that the trade market would just be such an afterthought for them. Like, do you feel like the trade market was ever the goal of where they were going to find a receiver?
After they whiffed in free agency, kind of, yeah. I mean, they
talked
about it.
That's what I mean, though. It became an afterthought. It became, well, there's the trade market. Well, we're going to pick somebody up on waivers. Like, it's going to be...
Yeah, right, that's right.
Like, that's what
undrafted
more,
free agency.
That's more likely what it's going to be to me. But I do think that some of these guys are going to move. I definitely think at least one of these guys are going to move. I think A.J. Brown is a good name to have out there. But I just say that because yesterday we got a bunch of texts being like, none of these guys are going anywhere. Why are you guys saying this?
Well,
and
people,
it's like, guys always move.
Yeah, people said that to us about Keenan Allen and Steph Diggs. We were talking about Steph Diggs moving like the second Buffalo got eliminated from the playoffs. Oh, he's not going to move. Oh, he'd never move in the division. He didn't move in the division, but he moved to another AFC contender, and he moved.
Yeah.
So, look, I think
Devontae Adams moved. Tyreek Hill moved. A.J. Brown, these guys moved.
Going back a few years, yeah. And so I think receivers are going to be on the move. I hope the Patriots are in, but I don't believe it, not for 1 second. Barry is in New Bedford on our Michael Penix discussion. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'm laughing. The overhype on this guy is hilarious. I've been watching this guy since Indiana. So he is a one-dimensional thrower. Think about this, Jones. Five other guys in that offense are going to go in the top 100 of the draft. All three wide receivers and the two tackles are going to go high. That offense is designed to run vertical routes. That's why 90% of his offense is vertical. You watch the games like Michigan, Arizona State, and Oregon State. They all started playing zone. You take away those vertical routes. He has an inability to make these short, quick throws.
Yeah, so Barry, where would you take him? Because I have him fourth out of the top six quarterbacks. I have him fourth, but a tier below Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels in whatever order. I have him fourth. Where would you take him?
He's a second-round pick. He's in that second-tier level.
Then what are we talking about? I'm saying you can take him in the 20s. You're saying you could take him in the second round. I don't think we're all that far apart. To be honest, this is a fair point about Penix. There was a lot of talent around him. A lot of talent around him. I don't know the man versus zone breakdown, but trust me, he'll face more zone in the NFL. If that was a problem for him in college, that will be a problem in the NFL because he's going to face a lot more zone in the NFL. It's what teams play in the NFL right now, the fallout from Patrick Mahomes. So
there's a lot of talent around Daniels, too.
No, yeah. There is.
First-round talent.
There is. I mean, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. I mean, I think you can play that game with a lot of these guys.
Can't really play it with Drake May.
No.
You know? But not last year.
No, but I'm just telling you, he had a lot of talent around him. I think that's valid. I think the injuries are valid, but I prefer him to J.J. McCarthy. I prefer him to Bo Nix. I mean, Bo Nix had a potential first-round wide receiver in Troy Franklin. Mm-hmm. So I think you can nitpick all these guys. I like I like the way Penix throws. I think he's one of the better pure throwers in the draft.
I have some disappointing updates for you from the text line.
What's that?
Someone from 413 area code says that the only girly steak choice is steak tips, which we were all just discussing during the break how fantastic they are.
I do like steak tips, but if you order that at a steakhouse, that is kind of that'd be a weird move,
right? Yeah, you would get that at a cookout.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or like a pub.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if you order it at like a steakhouse, that'd be a weird move, right? Can you even order that at a steakhouse? But
if you walk in there and go, can I have just the tip? Then they might look at you weird.
They're like, are you talking about Mego's podcast? 617-779-7937. We'll continue to react to this. You can text all of your steak takes at 37937. You guys all know the number. I do want to get to the Celtics as well. I will start to mix in a few thoughts on them because the Seas have been, believe it or not, getting a lot of flack at the national level, and perhaps it's because recent NBA history is working against the Celtics. Yes, these Boston Celtics. We'll explain with all your phone calls next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.